You're listening to a sermon originally recorded by Schweitzer United Methodist Church in Springfield, Missouri. Check us out online at sumc.co. And if this sermon blessed you, be sure to share it with someone else. Thank you so much for listening. Now, on to the message.
Why is it that good things happen to bad people?
It's not necessarily bad people that good things happen to. What you give is what you get. So yes, sometimes it may seem like a person is a bad person. Okay, well they've done this, this, and this. Well, your actions aren't necessarily what makes you a good or a bad person. It just helps guide that.
I guess everyone deserves something good. Even if you're not a great person, you still deserve good things to happen to you. So maybe that's why.
Anything can happen to anyone. I mean, no matter what you do, it's kind of chance.
Statistical probability.
Why do good things happen to bad people?
I wouldn't really say good things happen to bad people. Good things happen to everybody. It's just the sad thing is when somebody is doing something wrong in their life and something good happens to them, people focus on that more than, well, I've been doing all this, that, and the other, and nothing's happened to me.
Why do good things happen to bad people?
I don't even think I could answer that.
It's what life dishes out, you know. I mean, you could be a great person and still bad things happen to you. You could be a bad person and never have anything bad happen to you.
I don't know. I think some of it is just like, I guess the way the world revolves, like there's going to be things that, like some things are just out of your control and it's just the, I guess, fate or the way life works that you try your best, but sometimes there's just factors out of your control.
If I were to equate the occurrence of good things happening to bad people is to a divine will, you know, of a creator or God, what have you, it would be to the effect of showing them that there's something brighter than the darkness that they have. You know, that's difficult.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. It's good to see all of you. It's good to be with you. That's another good video. We thank the team for those videos. Good in the sense that it's a really honest responses. Honest and interesting. Interesting, I think, because all of us, I believe, or many of us, have at some time asked the question for today, why do good things happen to bad people? And if we've not asked it, something close to it, if we've not said it out loud, maybe we've thought it. I know that that question reminds me of a story. Yeah, it reminds me of a story, and it doesn't involve Panera. All right. And the story goes like this. It's about 25 years ago. I was first being asked to serve here at the church, and Roxanne and I and the boys, we had arrived here, and we were beginning to settle in. Yeah. Oh, boy. Go ahead. The young guys here told me I can show that anytime as long as I show the hair and the mustache. So I got to stay on track here. The story reminds me of serving. We were asked to serve, and so we were really wanting to commit to this community of faith, to a community of faith. We've been traveling a lot, come from the military, and this is what we wanted to do as we were becoming members. And I was used to commitment because I had been committed to nation and to community, family, and job. And so I wanted to actively live out our membership vows through serving. And so Roxanne and I, we were serving as greeters, and it was good. It was good. Hello, good morning. Good to see everybody. Get to know a lot of people. And then I was asked to serve as a Sunday school teacher for kids. And I said, time out, time out, time out. It's a full or half if you know basketball. I said, time out. That's not who I am. And that's not something I'm going to do. And so Miss Liz, our kids director, and Roxanne, my beloved wife, persuaded me, believed in me, mentored me to do that. And I've told a little bit of this story before of teaching kids in Sunday school. I didn't know much about the Bible stories. It would help me. They give you the curriculum, you review it, You teach it. I've got Roxanne in the room for muscle. Okay. So it's looking pretty good. So I have my first lesson, and I am. It's Saturday night before the Sunday morning I'm teaching. Do you see anything wrong with this picture? So I pull out the lesson and I'm reviewing it. I'm reviewing it, and it says the theme is life's not fair, but God is good and faithful. And it hit me like a ton of bricks, because somewhere deep inside of me, I believed life was supposed to be fair, and I was going through a time when I was really struggling with what I thought was some good things happening to some not so good people, or bad people, we might say. People who I observed in my mind as unethical or hateful, good Ozarkian term, hateful or mean. And so in my mind, I'm struggling with this. Life's not fair. And I am beginning to get cynical and losing hope and getting bitter, hard-hearted, if we would say. And so this lesson that I thought was for the kids, the first lesson that I'm teaching the kids is for me too. And yet I'm not sure about that God part just yet. Well, I've loved this series. We're wrapping it up today, this series that the God I've got a question, the honesty of it. And the question today, why do good things happen to bad people? Well, I have to tell you, in my brain, I had a little trouble with this question. When I first heard it, I kept flipping it. It kept flipping in my brain to what I was familiar with, which was good things, or keep me straight here, bad things happen to good people. Easy for me to say. So yeah, how many of you are familiar with that book? A bestseller in the 1980s, or have you read it? Yeah, a number of you have read that book by Rabbi Kushner in the 1980s. Bestseller, brought comfort to a lot of people. And I really appreciated that book. And so we know that bad things happen to good people. And for me, I was just reading this past week about a guy, a high jumper, Jamie Nieto. Good guy of faith, Olympian for his country, doing really good work, excellent athlete, does backflips like Ozzie Smith. You've got to get the Cardinals in here. Ozzie Smith had always done backflips. He did that after his events, and he does one time, and he doesn't complete it, and he becomes paralyzed. And so, yeah, I mean, bad things happen to good people, and yet it's not the end of his story. And so the thing we know is that if we've all lived long enough, and in this room, in this service, most of us have. Well, I didn't mean that. That was just, sorry, that slipped. So, we've lived long enough. We know stories or have personal stories where bad things have happened to good people. And it seems then to make it worse, it did for me, and it does for me at times when I'm really honest, is that then when I see good things happen to bad people, there's a part of me that wants to say, come on, God, really? Really? Now, there are lots of questions today buried within our primary question. And so we need to talk about these, to get on the same page, questions and nuances. And so let's begin with a working definition of good things. Good things. Well, it's generally, you know, have a good life, maybe a good job, a good title, a good position, friends, popularity, maybe notoriety. You get it. I mean, generally good things in life. But then there's nuances in there as well. The question involves things like perception, because we don't always see the whole picture when we're dealing with life and with people. And also, again, position, if you will, having some position that usually accumulates good things, whether the person is good or not. And then there's power, like the Old Testament kings, the kings who would leverage power for good things. And so power. And then there is this thing called purpose. It's amazing to me sometimes, and maybe to you, that people of really stated purpose with passion and zeal can draw good things to them, whether they're good or not, and whether their purpose is sometimes good or not. And so let's just make it a little more clear, if we will. Good things, bad people. Extreme case, clear cut. Saddam Hussein, evil person, wicked man who prospered for a long time. Okay? How about just the greedy person, just greedy? A person who, if you will, has some wealth, gets some more, that gets some privilege, is not generous with anybody, doesn't give anything back, is just greedy. Okay? Well, you see where we're going here. The question behind the question is, why do we ask the questions? And we play this game, a game that we call comparison. And it's really part of our human condition. It's what we do. And this game, this temptation, is likely to create in us jealousy and envy. Can hurt us, can hurt others, can hurt relationships. It can be a really harmful thing. In its purest form, social scientists will tell us it's not a bad thing, but many of us will make it a harmful thing. Comparison, the issue becomes, what do we do with the questions? What do they do to us? And social scientists will tell us that we're living in a time of a mental health epidemic because of the comparisons. And part of that is due to social media. And in and of itself, you know, not an evil thing, but because social media often just portrays the best of people, it's not a true picture. And it can leave us thinking, wow, I don't have that many vacations, or I don't have this or that. And so you see where it goes, what it can do to us. They just put up the best versions of themselves. And I think I've probably done that. Now, looking back in my life, my identity is really important. My identity was primarily in three things: sports, the military, and my work. And I was good at those things, so when I reflected on it, that's became who I was, or I thought I was. And I was really beginning to struggle with life is not fair. At that time, I was teaching the kids. I was trying to play by the rules, but I was comparing myself with others who I thought were getting ahead, if you will, don't deserve it, bad people. And then when I was teaching these kids, I don't remember the exact scripture that I was teaching, but I remember it was in the wisdom literature, which is in the middle of the Bible, the Psalms and the Proverbs and so forth in the middle. And then I remember reading Psalm 73, the 73rd Psalm. And this is a psalm written by Asaph, who's a character, it seems, just by the words he was honest enough to write. And it's my understanding he was King David's worship leader. And so let's see the words that he writes. It's about his heart. About half of the 28 verses are about the condition of his heart, which he is envious and he is skeptical. So let's read these words. It's a little hard to see. Asaph says, what's going on here? Is God out to lunch? Nobody's tending the store. The wicked get by with everything. They have it made, piling up the riches. I've been stupid to play by the rules. What has it gotten me? And then there's God. And Asaph, a little bit later, says these words. When I was beleaguered and bitter, totally consumed by envy, I was totally ignorant, a dumb ox in your very presence. I'm still in your presence, but you've taken my hand. You wisely and tenderly lead me, and then you bless me. And so he remembers who God is and who his identity is really in, and that is to be near to God. And even though that can feel hard sometimes, as Jake prayed, but God is near to us. And so Asaph, like me, and maybe like you, was struggling with unfairness. Good things happening to bad people. Now here's why, at least I believe, good things happen to bad people. And first there's this thing called grace, prevenient grace, where God is good to people who don't even know God, or care about God, before the grace that comes before, for example, faith. And there's this thing that we know that the sun shines on everybody. And then there are things that that we know, like talent. There is talent, and certain people just use their talent well to do what it is they want to do and to get what they want. And then I do believe there is, I've observed it, sometimes there appears to be luck, or this thing that we, like they said in the video, that appears to be chance. And now we can place our energy trying to figure out the why, or we can turn in another direction. And I suggest that's when we turn to God and trust that God is who God says he is. But that can be really hard. I confess that. Again, when I look back, when I was teaching the kids, I didn't have a true identity. I didn't have an identity, a true identity, a foundation in life that was lasting, that didn't change, even though I might change or change what I was doing. While I was trained to do things, I had, again, no foundation, and I was looking for one. And so I kept teaching the kids, Roxanne by my side, kept teaching and reading those Bible stories and then reading about this Jesus. God revealed through this human, and as I read about him, it became real to me, and I was captivated by his love, his mercy, his grace, his story, his sacrifice, his resurrection. And so I began to follow him for real, really follow him, and with others, which is so important. Now, the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about true identity. He writes to churches, the early churches, and so we're going to begin with a bit of his writing to a church in Galatia, although this letter is to multiple churches, and it's about their theology, what they're thinking about God, and what he knows in Jesus, true identity. So hear these words. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, that is, rules. And I confess, I was trying to follow the rules, morality, which is good, but faith will do something else. So we are locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And so what Paul is telling us here is that he's calling us to faith and belief in Christ that goes beyond the law, that frees us, if you will, from the things that are holding us in life, that are keeping us trapped. Our identity begins to change in Christ. And my identity was beginning to change. And I was beginning to see, as the scripture said, things differently through God's eyes. Old distinctions started to fade away. No longer really began. You still struggle, but you begin to change in a way that you don't need to compare yourselves with other people. That God has got us. And our identity is in God now and in this world. And peace and contentment become realities. So in our life with Christ, we receive new minds, new hearts, again, where we don't have to compare. And so let's look at, from Colossians now, what Paul has to say. He says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Set your minds on the things above. Again, we begin to see the world through God's eyes. We don't need to compare. What we need to do or what we want to do is engage and serve people and be with people in ways like we do around here at Schweitzer through the ministries that we do with people, like Jobs for Life and Coach House and on and on. It's no longer about us. It's about others. It's a mystery, but by practicing the ways of Jesus, we're changed. And yet, one of the biggest challenges we have in life is living with questions. As we live with questions. And Jesus lived with questions. I feel compelled just to say a word about the bad things happening to good people. One, because you may be thinking about that because it was brought up today and you may be still thinking. Also, because I'm one who serves a lot in pastoral care. And so, bad things happening to good people. Bad things happen to good people for a variety of reasons. And first, we live in a fallen world, and there is this thing called sin. We hurt others, we hurt ourselves. There are things called accidents and illnesses that I don't understand. There is evil, there is ignorance. There are lots of things that contribute to bad things happening to good people. This thing, the way the world's set up, this physics, there's usually consequences for our missteps. But yet God hears our questions. We also know that God allows this thing that we call suffering. And if you would want to know more about this question, which I always did, it's one of the primary questions of the human condition. We're offering the Alpha Course August 30th here. And so I invite you to come to Alpha to explore this question more deeply, because it's an important question and it's a real question. And then what Rabbi Kushner said, just go back to him for a second. Rabbi Kushner said in his book, and he was speaking out of the loss of his own child, and he said that for him and for many people, more than the question of why was that he needed to know where. Where did his help come from? Also, he said where, or more than the question or an explanation, he said people, and this has been my experience, more than explanation, people need consolation, that they need comfort in their suffering and in their disappointment. And God sends people like us, people who believe in Jesus, Jesus in us, to be with people and to help them in these times. And sometimes the best thing, oftentimes the best thing that we can do for each other is put our arms around each other and just weep with those who weep. Why do good things happen to bad people? It's a real question, and it's a legitimate question. Again, the question that, like Rabbi Kushner and what I've come to believe, is more than why, is to ask where. Where does our help come from? And our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's go back to Asaph for a second and see what he said as he continued his speaking with God. He comes to the realization of his identity. He says, when I tried to figure it out, all I got was a splitting headache until I entered the sanctuary of God. He seeks God's presence. He seeks God's presence, and I would suggest and encourage us to do the same thing. Our help comes from the Lord. Jesus comes. Jesus is with us. We're with others as we care and comfort for each other in this world in the midst of many, many questions. But thanks be to God for our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we're going to enter into a time of communion. And as we enter into communion, I invite you to receive the Lord, his comfort, his care, his joy in this life. We're also going to have a time of anointing. There'll be people available to anoint with oil either on your hand or your forehead. And in this, receive spiritual healing, knowing that God gives comfort through this anointing, just like communion. It's a way of God's grace. And so now we're coming into a time of communion and anointing. Hear these words. On the night in which Christ gave himself up for us, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my cup. This is my blood shed for you. As often as you drink this, remember your identity. Remember whose you are. And know that you are forgiven." Let's pray together. Holy God, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so we may be for the world the body of Christ. Lord, that we may be you, to help a hurting world, that we can give joy and comfort to others. It's in the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.